Shalom to all. Today's office on Henshinav Chavtes, so we are starting the last narrow line with the quote from the Mishnah, Oivza Shashvinu Vechulu, and today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Mars Mirms, Arabas, Yaakov Moshe, Hernish, Shama Shad Haven Aliyah. Now, Rabbi Yudin the Mishnah told us that Oiv and Asayne are not allowed to give Eidos, and once an Oiv is a Shashvinoi, this is a practice they had back in the day where a person would go to his friend's Chasana and bring food and rejoice with him for the Chasana and the Sheva Brachas, and that's considered a close friend who's allowed to give Eidos. Ask the Gemara of a Kama, how long is he considered a Oiv that he's allowed to give Eidos? And on this, Amar Baba, Amar Yirmi, Amar Rav, Kol Shavizmi Amishte, all 7 days of the feast, meaning the chasan and the sheva brachos, but afterwards he's not considered an oyev anymore. Rabban Rishmei the Rava Amri, they say afil mi amrishav eilach, even from the first day and on, meaning after the chasana already, he doesn't have an issue and he's allowed to give eidos for him. On the next bar mishnah, hasayne kol shalei dibar v'chulu, asayne, an enemy is somebody who didn't speak for 3 days out of eiva, out of animosity. And now we have a drasha about this. Tana Rabban, the pasuk says v'hulei oyev loy, he wasn't an enemy of his. And what do we learn from here? Yeidenu, such a person is allowed to give eidos about another fellow if he's not an oyev. The pasuk continues v'lo mevakash asay, he doesn't seek out his bad. What does this tell us? Yedinenu, he's allowed to judge for him. If a judge is not seeking out the bad for another guy, so he's allowed to be a judge. Now, Ashkan Sine, we find the source in the Pasuk for a Sine, Ayhev Minalon. What about if he's a Ayhev? How do we know he's not allowed to be an aid or a Dayon? And the answer is, Karbe Hachi, this is how I should understand the Pasuk. Vahulai Ayhev Loi, Vahulai Ayhev Loi, Yedinenu, if he's not a Ayhev or a Ayhev, so then he can give Eidos, and Vahulai Mevakash Ra'asai, Vahulai Toivasai, if he's not seeking out his bad or his good either, so then Yedinenu, he's allowed to be a judge. But the Gemara asks on this, Midi Oyhev Ksiv? Does the pasuk say Oyhev? It says Oyev, not Oyhev. So how do you say that? El rather Svarahu, it's clearly a Svara. Oyev my taima, if he's an enemy, why is not allowed to give Eidos or judge? Mishom Dimrach Gadaite. Because his feelings, his das towards the other guy, is very far, and he's not going to want to say good things about him. So he can't give Eidos or be a Dayan. And Oyhev Nami, it's the same when he's Oyhev. When he loves the guy, Makar Gadaite. He's very positively disposed to him, so we can't trust his judgment either. Rabban, what about them? They argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say a oyev and a soine are allowed to give eidos for each other. So hi loy oyev loy v'loy mevakash ra'asem my darshibe. What do they do with these drashas in the pasuk? And the answer is chad l'dayin. One drasha regarding the dayin, they agree with Rabbi Yehuda that a dayin who's an enemy is not allowed to be a judge. Whereas idach, what about the other one? Ketanya, the user for the following brisa, Amr Abiyes Rabbi Yehuda v'hu loy oyev loy v'loy mevakash ra'asem. What does it teach us? Mikan, from here we learn l'shnei talmidei chacham shesayin zeh. If we have two talmidei chachamim that don't like each other, she'en yashim din ke'echad, they're not allowed to sit together on the same din Torah, judging somebody else. And now, carry on with Mishnah, we begin discussing the actual process of a din Torah. Ketzad bayit kenas ha'edim, how do they check the edim to make sure the edim are saying the truth? Toyim machnisos l'cheder, they bring them into a room, u'ma'ayman aleihen, and they frighten them not to give false edos, and the Gemara is going to discuss how they frighten them. U'matin is called adam l'chot, everyone's taken out of the room except for the bali dinim, u'mashayinus ha'gadol shebehen, they let the most chashiv aid remain, so it's really just the bali dinim, the dayanim, and the most chashiv aid, va'aymrim loy, and they tell him, emar hecha to yedea shezeh chayv l'zeh. Tell us how you know this guy's chayv that guy. You're coming to say that Reuven's chayv Shimon $100. How do you know that? So Imamar, if the aide says, who amar li shani chayv loy? He told me he's chayv. Or ish pleni amar li shu chayv loy? A different guy told me he's chayv. Loimer klum. That's nothing. That's not considered a valid knowledge that he owes the money. And that's because, as we're going to see in the Gemara, even if a person himself admits, I owe that guy money, that admission alone is not strong enough for us to be mechayv him, because it is fairly normal for a person to pretend that he owes somebody money in order that others shouldn't think that he's wealthy. But really, he doesn't owe the guy money. And therefore, we're only going to listen to this aid, Achi Yomer, until he says, Bifoneinu haidaloi shu chayv lemisayim zoz. In front of us, he admitted that he's chayv the other guy 200 zoz. Now, v'achach machnisa sasheini, afterwards, we bring the second aid in, ubayt kenoise, we check him as well. Imnim tzvi devrei mechuvanin, if it turns out that what they're saying is on par with each other, they're agreeing with each other, there's no contradictions, noisim noisim medavar, the dayanim then have a back and forth, they discuss it, and let's say they conclude that shnaim ayrim zakai v'echra ayrim chayv, two say that he's zakai, the other one says he's chayv, zakai, so the guy's zakai, because that's the roiv, and we always go with the majority. Let's say shnayim ayrim chayv echraim rezakai, so chayv, the guy's chayv, because that's the majority. However, let's say echraim chayv echraim rezakai, one dayan says chayv, the other one says he's zakai, or afilu shnayim zakin or shnayim chayvin. Let's say two dayanim say he's good and two dayanim say he's chayv, ve'echraim ein idea, but the third one says I don't know, yesif ha'dayanim. So we have to add on dayanim because we can't have a dayan saying I don't know. If he says I don't know, he's not part of the bezin. We have to add on more. Gomer's hadavar, once they concluded their discussions, hoy machnisin son, they bring everyone in. Hagadol shem dayanim omer, the chief dayan says, ish planeat zakai, ish planeat chayev, you're zakai, you're chayev, end of story. No explanation of I said this, he said that, this was our discussion. They just simply say, you're chayev, you're putter. And Renach Shiyatza, how do we know that after they leave, lo yoimer, ani mezakai v'chaveir mechayevin, that one of the dayanim shouldn't say, I really was mezakai you, but my friends were mechayev you, avol ma'asa, what am I supposed to do? Shechaveir rabu alai, my friends, they were the majority over me, and I can't do anything. Al zen amar, about this guy, the pasuk says, lo yisei lich rachel ba'amecha, v'oimer, another pasuk says, hoy lich rachel magal usayid, in other words, don't be a rachel, don't peddle gossip. Don't say things like this. It's called rechilos and it's asur. Now the Gemara explains what this means, ma'aymin aleihen, that we frighten the edim and try to impress upon them not to give false edos. What is it that we tell them? So Amar Yehuda, Yehuda suggests, this is what we tell them. A pasuk says, nesim v'ruach v'geshem ayin, clouds and wind, but no rain. Why would such a thing be? Ish mishal matas shaker, this is when a man takes pride in a dishonest gift. In other words, telling the edim, if you got paid off to give false edos, you can bring this problem to the world that there's not going to be any rain and that's going to cause famine. However, Amar Rava, Rava commented on this, it's not strong enough to frighten them. Yachil Meimar, they could respond by saying, shev shani havachafna, for 7 years there could be hunger, v'abava omno lechalif, but it doesn't enter the door of the craftsman. Meaning if a person has a craft to support themselves, even if there's a general hunger in the world, they're not going to go hungry. So this is not something scary for them, that if they give false edos, there's going to be hunger in the world. El Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Amrinu Lehu, this is what we tell them. The pasuk says, mefitz v'cherv v'chetz shanun, a club, sword, and sharp arrow, ish oinib reu eid shaker, is when a man speaks about his friend, false testimony, and so we see, if they're eid shaker, this could bring death to the world. However, Amar Vashi commented about this, yachel u'meimar, they could always say, shev shani hav maisna, that there could be a plague for 7 years, v'inish b'lo shenei lo shchiv, and a person who it's not his time, it's not his ears, he's not going to die. So just because we might bring plague to the world, that doesn't scare us. El Amar Vashi, rather Rashi says differently, Amar li nosan bar mar zutra, nosan bar mar zutra told me, Amrinu Lehu, this is what we tell them, sahati shakri, false edim, augrayu zili, even the people who hire them, degrade them, and debase them, and think that they're low. Dechsev, because the pasuk says, v'shivu shnai manashem b'nei b'lial negdoi, let them place two lawless or corrupt men against him, v'yidu'uhu lemar, and give edus about him, saying, berkas alakim u'melech, that he cursed Hashem and a king. So we see that even though we're talking about hiring false edim, still, they called the false edim b'nei b'lial, corrupt men, and therefore it's not kedai for you edim to be considered edei sheker, because no one really cares about you, even the people that hired you. Continue to explain the mission we had said, imamar hu, amar li v'chulu, that if the aide said, the way that I know Reuven owes Shimon money is because Reuven told me he owes him money, or because the other guy told me he owes him money, that's not good enough. It's Achi Yomri, they both have to say, b'fanenu hoy deloy shu chayv le'mesayim zoz, in front of us, he admitted that he owes 200 zoz. And Masei Rav Yehuda, this is a rai for Rav Yehuda. Dom Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda says, b'shem Rav, tsarch shi Yomar, atem edai. In order for a person's admission to actually be mechayv him, he has to tell people standing around, you are my edim. As we explained in the Mishnah, it's fairly normal for a guy to say, I owe so and so money, even though he doesn't, he's just trying to show everyone that he's not wealthy and that he owes money. But again, he really doesn't. The only way that his admission is going to be mechayiv him money is if he looks at two people and he says, you are my edim. And that's learned from the Lashon of Mishnah that the edim have to say, he said in front of us that I owe that guy money. Which means basically Reuven told him, you're my edim and you're going to testify that I said that I owe that guy money. And Itmar Naim was also stated, Amar Chi Rabba, Amar B'yechanan, read the parentheses, Manali B'yadcha, if a guy says you owe me money, and Amar Lai Hain, the guy says, yes, I owe you. And the next day, Amar Lai, the guy told him, Tenei, give it to me. But Amar Mashatani Bach, the first fellow said, I was just joking with you, Potter is Potter, because he never told anyone, Atem Edai, you're my Edim. And Tanya Amyachav, if a brass is just like this, Manali Biotcha, Shimon tells Reuven, you owe me a money. Amar Loi, Reuven tells him, Hain, yes, you're right. And Lamacha the next day, Amar Loi, Shimon tells Reuven, Tanayuli, give me that money. Amar Loi, Reuven tells him, Shatani Bach, I was joking with you, Potter, he's Potter. Because again, he never appointed anyone as official Edim to listen to his admission. And Loi Oid, not only that, Elafilu Hichmin Loi Edim Achare Geder, even if Shimon hid Edim behind the fence to listen to this admission, Va'amar Loi, and Shimon told Reuven, Manali Biotcha, you owe me a money. And Amar Loi, Hain, Reuven told him yes. And then Shimon asked him, would you want to admit this in front of Beryl and Shmerel, who just so happened to be hiding behind the fence? Obviously, Shimon doesn't tell him that, but he knows that Beryl and Shmerel are behind the fence. And then let's say Amar Loi, Reuven responds to Shimon, I'm afraid. Maybe they're going to force me to din Torah. And Lamachar, the next day, Amar Loi, Shimon tells Reuven, Tineuli, give me the mana. And Amar Loi, Reuven responds to him, I was just joking with you yesterday. Potter, he's Potter. And this is even though there were Edom listening to this, since they weren't officially appointed as Edim by Reuven, so they're not valid Edim. Now the Brassa tells us something that's a little bit unclear. V'ein Tain and Lamesis, we're not going to make a Taina for a Mesis. A Mesis is somebody who tries to get somebody else to do Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, Mesis, Mandachar Shmei, who mentioned anything about a Mesis over here? We're not discussing one guy trying to get another one to do Avodah Zarah. And we answer, Yurei Chasrei Mechzer V'Hachtani, the Brassa is missing something. This is really what should be taught, that in Loi Tan, Ein Tain and Loi. If in regards to a monetary matter, Reuven, the Nitba, doesn't Taina anything, he doesn't say, oh, I was just joking with you, so we're not going to Taina that for him, and we're going to be Mechayev him based off his own admission. However, Dean and Fashas, if it's a capital case, Afagav Deloy Tan, Toyin and Loi, even if the accused doesn't bring up a Taina that he could, we're going to Taina it for him to try to defend him. But V'ein Taina L'Mesis, we are not going to bring up a Taina for a Mesis. Am I Ishna Mesis? Why specifically a Mesis? A guy who tries to get somebody else to do Avodah Zarah, are we not going to Taina something for him? So, Ramachar Bar Chanina, he tells us, Mipirkid Reb Chia Bar Abba Shmili, I heard this from the Joshua Reb Chia Bar Abba, the Shani Mesis. A case of a Mesis is different. Rachmana Amar, the Torah says, Loi Sachma, Loi Chasa Olav, you shouldn't have mercy or cover for him. And so specifically him, even though he's chayiv misa, if he doesn't come up with a tanya defending himself, we're not going to try to defend him because we have a beferish pasuk. And we continue discussing mesis before we get back to our original discussion. Amar Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, minayin she'ein tanya lemesis. How do we know that we're not going to bring up a tanya for a mesis if he doesn't say it on his own? Minachshak kadmoni, from the primordial serpent, the snake from Adam and Chava's days. The Rav Simlai from Simlai tells us, harbi tanyas hayolo nachash letoin. The nachash could have tanyed many things in order to defend himself to Hashem, v'loitan, but he didn't tanya them. And ubnei maloitan like Hashem Baruch Hu. Why didn't Hashem tanya them for him? L'fish loitan who? Because he didn't tanya them for himself, and he was a mesis. He was convincing Chava to do an avera, and that's like a mesis. And therefore, we see we do not tanya for a mesis. Now the question is, ma'avol le'meimar, what could have the nachash said for himself as a defense? And one answer is, divrei Rav, divrei Talmid, divrei Mishaimin. When you have the Rebbe saying one thing and the Talmud saying something else, who do you listen to? Divrei Rav Shimon. You listen to the Rebbe. And when Hashem says don't eat from the Eitz Hadas and the Nachash says yes, eat from the Eitz Hadas, who should have Chava listened to? She should have listened to Hashem. And that's what the Nachash could have said to defend himself. Even though I was telling her to eat from it, she shouldn't have listened to me. She should have listened to Hashem. Once again, since he's a Mesis, we're not going to tie it for him. Now, once we're on the discussion of Nachash, Amar Chizke says, Minayin shekol ha'mosif gereya, how do we know that anybody who adds on, they say extra, that actually takes away? Because the pasuk says in the conversation between Chava and the Nachash, when she was telling him why she can't have anything to do with the tree, she said as follows, Amar Elikim, Hashem said, Loi soich lemenu, don't eat from it, v'loi sigu bayin, don't touch it. But that's really not true. Hashem said, don't eat from it. He didn't say anything about not touching it. And she was maisif, and it turns out that that was gereya, because what did the Nachash do? He pushed her into the tree, she touched it, and he said, see, nothing happened. So since nothing happened by touching it, nothing's going to happen if you eat from it. And so the very fact that she was maisif, that really took away, and that's what caused her to fall. And Rav Shasha Amar Hachi says from this source, the pasuk tells us about the length of the Aron, Amasayim v'chetzi arkai, it's 2.5 amas long. Now if it would have said Masayim v'chetzi, that would have told us that it's 200.5 amas long. But by the Torah being Maisif, it added on the letter Aleph, making the word Amasayim v'chetzi, that's Goyreya, and that takes it down from 200.5 amas long to 2.5 amas long. And Ravashi says it's from the following, the pasuk says, Ashtei Esrei Yirios, this is referring to the curtains of the Mishkan, and if the pasuk would have just said Shtei Esrei Yirios, that would mean 12 curtains, and there's one letter of ayin being added on, of ashte esrei, that makes it 11. So we see once again that being moisif is gareya, adding on one letter takes away one curtain. And now going back to our discussion, where we said that the nitba has to appoint edim, he has to say, atem edai, you are my witnesses, that I'm admitting that I owe money, and if he doesn't do that, then he can later on say, mshatani bachal, is just joking with you. So again, our example, Shimon tells Reuven, you owe me $100, Reuven says yes, and the next day when Shimon says, okay, pay up the money, and Reuven says, I was just joking with you, that's fine, he can get away with that, because again, no edim were officially appointed. So now Amar Abayabai clarifies, Lo Hashanu, this is only taught El Da'ar Meshat Anibach, that's only if he says, I was joking with you. Aval Amar, but if he says, Choftes on Bezan Atap, Lo Yehoi Dvar Me'aylam, no such a thing ever happened, so then, Hochse Kafron, he's just proven to be a Kafron, he's a denier, and he clearly is lying, and then we will be able to bring those edim that were around, and they'll say, what do you mean, yesterday he admitted that he owed the money, and then he won't be able to cover himself. Again, he can only cover for himself when he says, yeah, I admitted to you yesterday I owed you the money, but I was just joking with you. But if he says, Lo Yehoi Dvar Me'aylam, I never borrowed money from you, well, yesterday Edim heard him say that he did borrow money, so then he's stuck and he would have to pay. But now we have a different opinion about this. Rapapa Breder of Achabar Ada, he says, this is what they say in the Rava, that call mili dechdi loy dechiri inchi. Any silly, worthless thing that a person says, he doesn't remember. And therefore, just because today Reuven says, that's not contradictory to what he said yesterday, that I owe you the money. Because if he really was joking yesterday when he said, yeah, I owe you the money, he's not going to remember that he said that today. So now when Shimon says, listen, pay me up, he's going to say, loy dechiri inchi, I don't know what you're talking about, because he doesn't remember what he said yesterday, and that's a valid taina. You have another case. There was a fellow who hid Edim behind the canopy of the bed. Reuven and Shimon were in a room together. Shimon had hid Edim under the canopy of the bed. He wanted them to listen to his conversation. Amar Le, Shimon told Reuven, Mana li biyadcha, you owe me money. Amar Le, Reuven told him, Hain, yes. Amar, then Shimon asked him, people who are awake and even people who are sleeping, is it okay for them to be Edim? And the reason why I said this is because he wanted to cover all of his bases, trying to get an approval from Reuven that whoever happens to be here, if there are people here, that they could be valid Edim. However, Amar Le, Reuven told Shimon, Loi, no, I don't want anyone to be official Edim. And on this, Amar Rav Kana said, Amar Le, Loi. Reuven told him, Beferush, I don't want anyone to be an aid. We continue discussing another case before we explain what the Chiddush is. Huda Achman Edim Bekivr L'Chavre, there was a fellow who hid Edim in a kever, in a graveyard, for his friend. Again, he wanted Edim to listen to what they were saying. Amar Le, Shimon told Reuven, Mana li biyadcha, you owe me a mane. Amar Le, Hein. Reuven said yes. And then Shimon suggested, Chai Umeisei L'Hava Olach Sahadi, could people who are alive, or even maybe people who are dead, be Edim for us? Amar Le, he told him, Loi, I don't want anyone to be an official aid. And Amar Shimon on this, Rav Shimon said, Ha Amar Le Loi, he told him no, and therefore they're not considered Edim. Now Amar Avinu, if be Tamer of Papa, Ravina, and some say it's Rav Papa said, Shma mina meha, we learn from this the following, that ha da am Rav Yehuda, am Rav, that which Rav Yehuda said b'shem Rav, tsarch shiyomer atem edai, the nitba has to look at the edim and say, you are my official edim, loishnak yomer loiva, it doesn't make a difference if the loiva said that, the nitba, Ruvain, he said, I want you to be my edim, v'loishnak yomer malve, v'shasek loiva. There's also no difference if the malve said, they are our edim, and the loiva was quiet, he didn't say anything, so they're officially edim. And where do we got this from? From the previous two cases. Taimad Amar Loiva Loi. The only reason why these two edim who are hiding were not official edim is because the Loiva said Beferush, no, I don't want them to be edim. Avali Shasek, Hachinami, but if he was quiet and he didn't say anything, then you're right, they would be considered edim. Now to another case about a person saying that he owes money and whether or not we can listen to that admission of his. Huda Havakarule Kavrashu. There's a fellow whom they used to call Kavrashu, which means a stack of documents. In other words, they used to call him a person who owed tons of people money. That was the shmu on the street. The rumor was this guy owes tons of people money. Now, seemingly, in order to cover for himself that he doesn't owe everybody money, Amar, this guy said, Man Masik B, who do I owe money to? El plenty u plenty. I only owe that guy and this guy. I only owe Reuven and Shimon money. Reuven $100, Shimon $50, and that's it. And then what happened? Also, Tavuli Dina Kamid Rav Nachman, Reuven and Shimon brought this guy to Beis Din in front of Rav Nachman, saying, look, this guy admitted that he owed us money. And Amar Rav Nachman said, then no, you can't listen to that admission because Adam also Shaloy Las Bias Atmai, a person will say things not to be Masbia himself. Literally, Masbia means make himself sated, make himself full, and this is what we've been saying the whole time, that a person will say that he owes money just in order that other people will think that he's not rich. And therefore, just because this guy said that he owes you money, that's not a real admission, and you can't be tevei money from him. Another story, Huda Hava Karule, there was a guy whom they used to call Achbar the Shachav Adinare, a mouse who lays on money. Basically, he was a huge miser, he never used any of his money, and that's just like a mouse who sleeps on money and obviously doesn't use the money. So this guy is just like that mouse. Now, Kika Shachav, when this guy was about to die, Omar, he said as follows, Planyu Planya, Masku Bizuzi, that guy and this other guy, I owe money to. I owe Reuven and Shimon money. And Basar Shachiv, after he died, Asu, these two fellows came to Vinul Yarshin. They were Tevea the Yarshim to Din. They wanted to get this money from the Yarshim because the guy in his deathbed said, I owe these two people money. Now, also, Kamed Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, they came to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, Armaluhi told them, Kamino, when do we say, Adam Asu Shalal Asbias Atzmai, that a person is going to say something false just so that he doesn't appear wealthy? Hanamil Mechayim, it's only when he's alive. Aval Achar Misa, but after death, Lai, he's not going to say that. And since this guy was on his deathbed and he admitted that he owes people money, we can actually listen to that admission of his, and you, Yarshim, have to pay up. And what happened? Parupalga. They only paid up half of it. So Tevinu Ladina La'idich Palga, these people were Tevea, the other half of the money that was owed to them, but also Kamed Reb Chia, now they went to Reb Chia to get the other half of the money. But then Amaluhu, he told them the exact opposite. K'shem Sha'adam also Shalal Asbias Atzmai, the same way that a person is going to say something false so as to make himself not appear wealthy, Kach Adam also Shalal Asbias Banav, a person will say the very same thing so as to make it appear that his kids are not wealthy. And that's why on this guy's deathbed, he said, I owe so-and-so money. He didn't really owe them money. He just didn't want people to think that his kids are now wealthy, that they inherited all his money. Rather, they have to pay up debts that their father owed. But really, he's not chayv any money. And so Amrulay, they asked Rav Chia, Nezel ben Hader, should we now go and return the first half of the money we received? Amrulay told them, no, kfar hayr zaken. The zaken already paskined. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi already said you could have that money. And my statement of, Adam also shalel asbias banav, is not strong enough to take money away from you. It's strong enough to say that you can't collect the remaining half, but you don't have to take the money out of your pocket and give it back. Now going on a slightly different discussion. Even if Reuven admits that he owes money and there's edim there, that doesn't mean that they could write it down on a shtar unless they were told to do so. And that's because writing down the loan has two negatives. Number one, he can't claim parati, I paid it. Even though he admitted in front of edim that he owes, later he could still claim I paid it, and it being written down prevents him from saying that. And also, once it's written down in a document, his karka is meshubet to pay for it. So therefore, bottom line, no writing it down on a document unless he tells edim to do so. So Gemara tells us, if he admitted in front of two people, but they made a kinyan. This kinyan officially concretizes his admission, and that makes it much stronger. So therefore, Kaisvin, they would be allowed to write down Nishtar, even though he didn't tell him to do so. Vimlav, but if not, if there wasn't a kinyan in Kaisvin, they can't write it down Nishtar unless he tells them to do so. Now, if Neshloshev Aloykon Miyadai, let's say he admitted in front of three people, but he didn't make a kinyan, are they allowed to write it down? So Rav Amarav says Kaisvin, they could write it. Ravasi Amar in Kaisvin, Ravasi says they can't write it down. Rav says they could write it down because they're like a Bezdin, and we know that anytime a person admits something in front of Bezdin, even if he doesn't say, write it down, they're going to write it down. So it's the same thing. He admitted in front of three people, they're like a bezin, they could write it down. Havavda, there was a story, v'choshlo Rav, l'had Ravasi, Rav was choshesh for Ravasi's opinion, and he didn't allow the three people to write it down without being told to do so by Reuven, who admitted. Now Rav Ravi continues discussing this, ha'idisa, this admission in front of three people, zimnin kasvinun, zimnin lekasvinun, sometimes we'll write it down and sometimes not. K'nifi v'yasvi, lekasvinun, if three of them were already gathered and sitting down, and then this guy admitted in front of them, we still can't write that down because he didn't gather them, so he didn't necessarily want to appoint them as a Bezdin, whereas finhu inhu kasvinan. If he gathered them and he admitted in front of them, so then we could write it down, even though he didn't say so. In other words, Reuven picks up the phone and calls Beryl, Shmerel, and Getzel and says, I want you to come here so I can admit something in front of you, even though he doesn't say write it down. They could do so because him gathering them together is basically him saying, I want you to be a bezdin. However, Rava argues and says, afilu kan finhu ihu, even if he did gather them together, like kasvinan, they can't write it down unless told to do so. Ad amrlu, until he tells them the following lashon, havu alai dayani, I want you to be dayanim for me. So then they could write it down because they're like dayanim. But Mar Rav Ashi Amar, he argues and says, afilu amr havu alai dayani, even if the guy says, I want you to be my dayanim, like kasvinan, they still can't write it down. Ad kavi duchta, until they establish a place for themselves, vishalchi, and they send umizamni le beidina, and they officially summons him to this court of theirs. So then they're considered like a bezdin, and they could write it down even though he didn't say so. We continue discussing this. Let's say he admitted that he owes metaltalin, either money or movable object, and they made an official kinyan concretizing this, so then they could write it down even though they weren't told to do so. Vimlav, but if not, ain't kaisvin, they can't write it down. Vimakarki, but if he admitted the karka that he had a chazaka on really didn't belong to him and it belonged to somebody else, and they didn't make a kinyan, my, what's the din? Amemar Amar, he says, ain't kaisvin, it's not allowed to be written down. But Marzucha Amar kaisvin, Marzucha says it could be written down. Vilchsan alacha is kaisvin, it could be written down. And why is that? Because with karka, there's nothing missing. With metaltalin, a kinyan needs to take place. Even if he admits, I owe you money or metaltalin, we still need to make an official kinyan. But karka automatically goes back to the real owner, and the shtar is just proof of that, and therefore, even though he didn't make a kinyan, still they could write it down without being told to do so. Now we have a story, Ravina Ikla Demharya. Ravina visits this place called Demharya. Amalir Ravdimi Barav Huna mi Demharya Ravina. Ravdimi Barav Huna from this place Demharya asked Ravina, metaltali v'isnu beinayu mai. Let's say the fellow admitted to owing metaltalin, and it's here. Let's say the object or the money that he borrowed is in his pocket. On one hand, maybe you would say milvalid saw nitna, that a halva alone is just meant to be spent, and therefore it's no different than any other metaltalin. Whereas on the other hand, since it's here, it's be'en, maybe it's like karka. So Amalei told him, kimakarki adamu, it's like karka. However, Ravashi says, kivin de mechsi guvaina, since it's lacking being collected, it still has to be handed over physically. Loi, it's not like karka. Now we get into the discussion of what needs to be written in this shtar of admission. Hayudisa, this shtar of admission, deloi havakasavba, the following was not written in it. Amar lona kisu chesmu havulei, he told us, write it and sign it and give it to him. What's the din? That's really a key line that has to be in there. The edim have to write that he told us to write it down. And if it's missing that line, do we say that anyway we could trust them and really they were told to write the shtar, or maybe not? And the answer is, Abai v'Rava, Damar Chavaya, both Abai and Rava say, Hanid Reish Lakish. This is the same thing as Reish Lakish. Damar Reish Lakish said, Chazaka in edim chaisman al shtar, elm kein as a gadol. There's a chazaka that edim don't sign a shtar unless it was done with a gadol. This is referring to where brothers who were Yarshim claim that one of their brothers sold a property when he wasn't allowed to. He was under 20. And we know that an under 20-year-old Yairesh is not allowed to sell a property. However, we have a shtar with two valid edim signed on it, attesting to the fact that it was sold, and Reish Lakish said, we have a chazaka, edim are going to sign on a shtar unless it was done with a proper gadol who's over 20 years old, and therefore, since we have these edim signed on the shtar, we can assume the kid was over 20 years old when he sold it. And the same thing over here, edim wouldn't write in idisa if not for the fact they were told to do so, and therefore it's valid. However, Maskele Rav Papi, Papi asks on this, Vitem Rav Hunabrit Rishua, some says Hunabrit Rishua, Mi'ik Amidi Danalo Yedinon, Vesafrit Beidina Yadi, is there something that we, the Dayanim, don't know, but the Seifrim, the scribes of Bezdin, they do know? There are many Dayanim that don't know this din, that edim are not allowed to write in idisa without the person telling them to do so. So how could we say that the Seifrim, that the court scribes, they did know this and they wouldn't have written it down if not for the fact that they were instructed to do so? However, the Gemara knocks this question right away and says, Shalinu l'safri d'abai v'yadi, they asked the Seifrim of Abai's Bezdin and they did know this din, and l'safri d'rav of Yadi, they also asked the Seifrim of Rav's Bezdin and they did know this din as well. So actually it's not a problem. It's possible the Dayanim do not know this din, but the Seifrim, the ones who are writing the document, they do know this din, and therefore they would never write a document unless the guy told them to write it. Another discussion about the shtar udisa, hayyadisa, the shtar of admission, the havakasav bay, the following was written in it. Duchran pizgami, literally translated, this means a record of words. And it didn't just say that, laman omar alfa on the top, v'chol lishanit beidina, all the other lishanis in there also led us to think that it was written by a bezdin. Duchran pizgami is something that would be written in a shtar udisa if it was written by bezdin. If it was only written by two edim, it would say zichron edos, not zichron pizgami. And so everything about the shtar seemed to be that it was written in bezdin. The problem is there was only two edim signed on it, and v'loy havakasav ba, it also didn't have written in it, but must have tlas havina v'chad le'sahi, that we were three people, we were three dayanim, but one of them isn't here, and that's why there's only two people signed. It seems to be that it was written in front of a bezdin, but there's only two edim signed. Could we trust that this is valid? So some Ravina Lamina Ravina want to say, Haim Reish Lakish, is the same thing as Reish Lakish, that it wouldn't have been written if not for the fact that it was written properly, and therefore we could assume that it was written in front of three dayanim, and just one of them wasn't there to sign it, and they forgot to put that line in that one of them's not here. However, Amalei Ravnasim Barami, Ravnasim Barami told him, Hachemim Shmei de Rava, this is what we say in the name of Rava, Kol Kei Gavna, in such a case, Chashin El Bezin Tayin, we have to be Chashish for Bezin Tayin, that maybe there was actually only two people of the Beis Din, and they thought that that constitutes a proper Beis Din, and therefore maybe it actually didn't take place in front of three Dayanim, and only in front of two, and therefore it wouldn't be valid. But now we just have a clarification of this. Amar Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Ikasav Ba, if the following was written in it, Beidina, then this was done in front of a Beis Din, Sula Tzarech. So then we wouldn't have to be worried about anything, because since it was very clear that it was written in front of a Beis Din due to the fact that it says Beidina, then there's nothing to be worried about. And we can assume it was written in front of three, and just the third guy didn't sign it. Asking more, why is there nothing to be chayshish for? Maybe it's a Bezin Chatzof. What's a Bezin Chatzof? The Amr Shmuel Shmuel says, Shnaim Shadanu, Dinei and Din, if two people sat down and judged the case, it is valid, Elish Shenigru Bezin Chatzof, but they're called a Bezin Chatzof. Just because the document says Beidina, that doesn't mean it was done in front of three. Maybe it was only done in front of two Dayanim, who are a Bezin Chatzof, and then it's not valid. So the answer is no. The Kasav Bey, what was written in the Shtar? Beidina Dravana Ashi. It was done in front of the Bezin of Rav Ashi, and the Bezin of Rav Ashi for sure had three Dayanim. The Gemara continues asking, Vidom Rabbanan de Beir Rav Ashi, Kishmulsvir Elohu. Maybe all the Dayanim of Rav Ashi's Beis Din hold like Shmuel that you could have a Beis Din of two people. They're Beis Din Chatzif, but still a Beis Din of two people, and therefore the Shtar wouldn't be valid. And on this, the Gemara concludes by answering, Dechsiv Bai, what was written on the Shtar? V'amar Lon Ravona Ashi. Rav Ashi told us to do this. And Rav Ashi said to do it, it must be that there was three Dayanim, it's just that one guy didn't manage to sign, and therefore the Shtar is valid, even though there's only two signatures. But yes, a regular Shtar Adisa comes to us, and there's only two signatures, but the entire Lashon of the Shtar seems like it was done in front of a Beis Din, so then we'd have to apostle it because it doesn't have three signatures. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this idisa. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.